Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price.
This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax Live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
Welcome to the Dogs Podcast with your hosts, Blake Reniker, Justin Charles, and Josh All.
What's up, Browns fans? Welcome back to another episode of the Dogs Podcast. Back in studio today. If you thought we hadn't recorded an episode in a while, that's a lie. We have. YouTube just isn't showing them to anybody for some reason. Maybe we're not allowed to talk about that because they'll just continue to not show them. So, but I guess nobody will hear this rant. So how will they ever know?
Get it off your chest.
Yes. If you don't know what I'm talking about, apparently we were just banned or shadow
randomly
banned.
Randomly shadow banned.
Randomly shadow banned right at the height of our careers. Just as we're interviewing Ted Ginn and Eddie George and Bob Golic, YouTube decided to fist us. So hopefully if you didn't get to check out those episodes and you wanted to, and the ban is softening and you're actually seeing this episode, go back and watch those because they were actually pretty sweet. We had, I'm going to call it the opportunity of a lifetime.
It was great. That's
fair. It was great. We got to sit down and interview Ted Ginn Jr., Bob Golic, Nate Burleson, Eddie George, and we got to interview Stump Mitchell again, which was super cool. So if you didn't get a chance to check out those interviews or the full episode, which is just basically all those interviews combined, go back and check it out. We put a lot of work into it, and honestly, I was kind of pissed that nobody got to watch it. So go back and watch it. Make me feel happy. It could be a birthday present. Me and Josh both had birthdays this
week. I was going to say, Blake just turned 35, so he has finally caught up with me, which I've been 35 for like a week. So,
and what's crazy is I graduated a year after you, or before you.
Yes, you did. Yep.
But I digress. There's my rant about YouTube. So YouTube, if you're watching, I'm sorry.
Not really. Not really.
Yeah. But before we got a fun episode lined up today. We're going to talk Amari Cooper's contract situation, which do we need to be worried or not? We're going to talk about Hard Knocks. And we got a very special interview with Browns wide receiver Amari, and Brown joins us later in the episode. We get a chance to sit down and talk with him. So you guys aren't going to want to miss that. Make sure you guys stay tuned through the whole episode. Before we dive into everything, though, remember, if you want to get your voicemails and your intros on the show, head to thedogspodcast.com. Tap leave voicemail. You can also check out the merch store while you're there. Get yourself some cool t-shirts and any other cool stuff we got there. If you prefer to just listen to the show, go check us out on Apple, Spotify, and Google. If you're watching on YouTube, please like and subscribe. Make sure you tap the notification bell so you never miss any of the new episodes. And you really need the bell tap because, again, YouTube just won't put on any notifications. So apparently we did somebody dirty. I'm going to harp on this for the rest of the episode. Okay. So I hope I'm not too annoying. Where did I lose my train of thought? Oh, yeah. You can also find us on all the socials that we haven't been banned on. Just search at the Dogs Podcast, and you'll find us there having been extremely active continuously for the last 5 years. lastly, if you're looking for more dogs content, head to jointhedogs.com. Become an official Dog Pack member on our Patreon page. You get access to the private Discord. You get an extra episode every week, which we've tried something new. We bring the Dog Pack members in, and they're a part of the episode. It's basically like just sitting around a fire in a garage or whatever. Talking Browns or whatever with your friends. So it's pretty cool.
It was good.
I even joined from the car
five minutes
the other day. So if you want to be a part of the Dogs Podcast episodes, you want to meet a bunch of people from all over the world, check out Join the Dogs. You get to play fantasy football with us. And it was brought to my attention. We should probably start promoting this because it's mid-June. I should have known that. It was my birthday, and my birthday's in mid-June. But typically the cutoff for the fantasy leagues is mid-August, so we can get everything organized. And we have to set a number so we can have an even number of people for every league. And sometimes if we have enough leagues, we got to get other people in the Dog Pack to kind of be commissioners for the leagues. So the mid-August is typically the cutoff point. So you got about 2 months. If you are interested in playing fantasy football with us, make sure you jump in the Patreon at jointhedogs.com and let us know. We'll be putting out reminders and signups so anybody who's in there can play. Last year we had five leagues?
We did.
We had five redraft leagues plus a dynasty league last year. Every year so far we've been able to up the ante and add at least one league, if not multiple leagues. So if we can get to six or seven leagues this year, that'd be really cool. So if you want to play fantasy football with us, you got about 2 months to hop in the Patreon, meet everybody, get signed up, and then we'll start doing the fantasy drafts late August for this year's football season. So we're really pumped about that. The fantasy football is like one of the coolest things about the Patreon. And then the private Discord is obviously a big, it's what everybody likes. It's where everybody is.
It's where everybody hangs out. Is.
So again, that's jointhedogs.com. Become an official Dog Pack member. Hang out with us, play some fantasy football. So the big news for the Browns this week is Amari Cooper not showing up to the minicamp.
The mandatory minicamp.
He wants a new contract. What I'm seeing is that it's not necessarily the money, it's the length.
Yes. That's what I saw today. Yeah.
So that was from, I think, Brad, whatever, Steenbrook or whatever on Twitter. And I think he's normally pretty good with that, his stuff. So, So what do you guys thoughts? Do we need to be worried? Are you mad at Amari Cooper for holding out? Like, where do you guys stand on this?
Just real quick, it's hard for me to be mad at a player for having the opportunity to make more money or to have longer security at his job, especially since we talk all the time, NFL careers are so limited. So, I mean, he's got this opportunity right now. Wide receivers are getting paid like crazy this offseason. So, I get it. I get why he's doing it.
Yeah, I'm not mad either. My thing is, I'm like, I guess to answer your question, I'm a little concerned, right?
It wasn't at first.
Yeah. So my thing is, it's not that it's even like concerned that it'll get done, because I don't think that they'll trade him. Like, to me, that's just crazy. That's craziness. But like, he was such a pivotal part of our offense the last 2 years. And I think that if you don't have this guy on your team, everything that you've put in place up until this point has taken a step back. Because then now you're talking about Jerry Jeudy, a guy that was going to get success as a number two. Now he's stepping into a one role, and he's got to be the guy. And Amari Cooper was the only guy really for us. I mean, we had David, but like Amari Cooper showed up the last 2 years for us. So I
would say that if Amari Cooper is not playing for the Browns this year, Judy's not going to be the number one still. He's not just going to not be on the Browns and just not bring anybody in.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, we would be trading him for somebody else, I think, that would fill his role. The name I keep hearing is Brandon Ayuk.
Which we talked about him back in like February or March.
My only problem with that is, I guess if it's not the money and it's just more about longevity, then the Niners would maybe be able to stomach it, but they're not signing Ayuk because of money.
Right.
You know what I mean? So how are they going to then sign if Amari Cooper doesn't want to get traded to the Niners and then just hold out there? You know what I mean? So I think everything's on the table. I do think they'll get a deal done. The Browns have been really good about taking care of their players so far. I can see Amari's side of this where he's like, you traded for me, and all I've done since I've been here is lead the AFC North in receiving 2 years in a row. And this is a division that has Jamar Chase, yep. You know, T. Higgins, and other, you know, high profile wide receivers. He's like, and I did it playing with five different quarterbacks last year. Mm-hmm. And you know what I mean?
Two different ones the year
two
before.
Different year the year before. So all I've done is come in and produce at an extremely high level, have career years for you guys, be a leader. He's played banged up, all this stuff. He's like, and then how am I being rewarded? You go trade for Jerry Jeudy and extend him. You know what I mean? Right. So I can see his side of it. I think they'll get a deal done. Andrew Berry will figure out a way to get it done. I want him practicing though for the most, basically if we were just going to roll out the same old offense, you know, it is what it is, but we got Deshaun coming back from injury. He hasn't got to play with Amari that much, in their time so far in Cleveland, and it's a whole new offense. You know, and Amari's a smart guy, and he's a vet, and he can learn the offense and all that good stuff, but nothing can replace reps, actually doing it on the field. So I want them to get it. They need to get it figured out sooner rather than later.
Yeah, and honestly, on the positive side of this whole thing is the fact that this was Amari's last year under contract with the Browns, so, and he's set to make $23.8 million this year against the cap. So, I mean, he's making good money for this season, and he could have just come in and said, all right, I'll just play out this season. If you guys give me an extension, cool. If not, I'll just go play somewhere else. But, like, this kind of shows me he wants to be here. He wants to be here longer term. He wants to be a part of this. So he obviously sees the value. Like, we'll talk to Amari and Brown later, but of being in Cleveland.
Does he want to be here? Does he just want – he wants to be somewhere? Not a lot of players like to play in the last year of their deal. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, Mike Evans did it last year at 30, and all he did was go out there and earn himself a good extension with them.
Yeah, but I feel like that's not the norm. Most players don't play on the last year of their deal. They almost always look to get their extension before their deal's up, because then Amari Cooper gets injured and he has no negotiating power. If he gets hurt in week 8 and he's out the rest of the year, he's got no leverage for next year. You know,
that's a good point.
But
which is why the Browns, I'm sure, they're having their conflict right now of duration of contract.
I know the one thing, like, they could save a bunch of money and probably do some stuff if they restructure Deshaun, but they're in a position where they might not want to restructure Deshaun this year because they can actually afford to take the cap hit this year. You know what I mean? And kind of make the future a little easier. So I think they don't want to restructure him to free up a bunch of money.
To talk about that real quick, I did put a note in here about that. So if this is over from over the cap, it shows that if the Browns would restructure Watson this year, they could save $33.6 million against the cap. That's a ton. Mm-hmm. But like you just said, I wouldn't be surprised if they're trying to avoid that, take on that $63 million cap hit this year, because the team's already set up to do it. We've got like $13.7 million in cap space with that.
Yes.
So this would be a good year, I'm sure, this from the Browns perspective of, let's take that cap hit. We've got everything structured. Everybody's on the team. Everybody's locked in, except for Amari.
Yep. But I agree too, though. Like, it's got to be Amari or somebody of Amari's caliber. We can't roll into this season with Jerry Jeudy as the number one. I'm perfectly okay with trading for Jeudy and even extending him his deal as a number two, as a, you know, potentially high end number two with number one ceiling sometime down the road if he develops the way we think he can with Deshaun in this offense. He's too unproven to be the number one this year, in my opinion. It's got to be it's got to be Amari or somebody on Amari's level is the Browns number one wide receiver this year.
I think that's where it's kind of crazy too, because it becomes risky. Because so let's say you can't get a deal done with San Francisco, right? And Amari's still just hanging out, saying, "Hey, I'm not playing." After that, who's really available? You know what I mean? Like, I feel like it becomes a thing where you're like taking a bigger swing just to bring a guy, and the guy you're probably going to bring in. I know, like, I've heard stuff with free agents, like they're like, "Oh, Michael Thomas." I'm like, no. Like that's not an answer.
Yeah, it's not 2016.
If it was, then
17.
Hell yeah, let's go. But you know, I think it's critical that they get that figured out.
Now I'll say this: the Browns can literally do nothing, and Amari Cooper is not going to hold out forever. He's not going to just give away all of his money in fines, and then he's not going to sit out. If he was 24, maybe he sits out games this year and refuses to play. He's not going to – sitting out this year does nothing for him. He'd lose all his leverage again. Mm. He'd be going into next year, oh, he's a 30-year wide receiver who didn't play last year. You don't even know what he has left in the tank. Like, he's got to go out and perform this year. He knows that. So he'll play. It's right. Just I'd rather him be playing happy.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Well, and doesn't he not deserve – right. That's kind of where I'm at. Like, it's not like he –
You know, just like the Browns took care of Nick Chubb, you know, they very easily could have walked away from Nick Chubb, you know, and saved money. Just like they've taken care of a lot of guys, I think they'll take care of Amari Cooper.
Amari Cooper is the type of wide receiver that I do think he's going to be productive into his 30s. He just turned 30 but over the weekend or the other day. So this is his age 30 season. I think we've seen the last 2 years now. He's had two of his top three best career seasons. And I think that this is a guy that he might not be your number one leading receiver by the time he's 33, 34, but I think he could still be playing football at a decent level at 33, 34. He's that kind of receiver with the route running, with
crazy,
the way he's just so his football IQ. He knows where to be for the quarterback. He doesn't win on physicality, high pointing balls, elite speed, all that kind of stuff. Like his skill set translates to more success at an older age, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's like the basketball player. When you have your freak athlete basketball player who never learns to shoot, his career is not very long. And then you have your guy who can put the biscuit in the basket, as they say, and he can have a 15-year career because in year 10, when his athleticism starts to slip, he can still go score. He can still shoot.
Yeah, that's great.
You know
what
I mean? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like Amari, he can still go out there. It doesn't matter how old he gets, he's still going to be able to run precise routes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Still going to be one of the best route runners in the league. So I agree with that. But I'm very interested to see what happens. I would love for them to they need to get it figured out sooner rather than later.
Yep.
Yeah, they do. Because another thing I was looking up too is if they don't get this figured out before training camp, he's not going to be holding out. He's going to be holding in. And I just want to talk about this because holding in or a hold in, let's see, I pulled this from a website. It's essentially a collective bargaining agreement loophole. As a hold-in, the player shows up at training camp on time, but he does not take part in team activities until his contract dispute is settled. The player avoids daily fines for unexcused absences and simply refuses to work. So he'll basically show up and say, well, I'm not going out on the field today, and they can't fine him.
That's kind of wild.
Well, and then the last part of this, the league and the teams have not yet publicly taken action against this method, though it will likely be addressed in the next collective bargaining
agreement. If you just showed up to work and they were like, hey, go do this, and you're like, no.
Yeah.
And they were like, what do you mean no? And I'd be like, well, I'm here. So I give me my paycheck. I'm here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you're not doing anything, but I'm here. You know what I mean? Like, how does that even work? And the Browns just don't need the distraction.
Right.
They just don't need any of that. I just want to come in quiet, just go about our business. Everything's taken care of, and just go out and play football. I don't want to deal with any headaches. So anything else about Amari?
No, just
get it done.
Get it done. Yep, exactly.
Let us know what you guys think. Are you guys worried at all? Do you think they get a deal done? Let us know.
This episode is brought to you by Omaha Steaks. Let's all take a minute to wish happy birthday to the United States of America, and there's no better way to celebrate America's birthday than with the best meats available for your backyard cookouts this 4th of July season. Right now, you can save 50% off site-wide during the Omaha Steaks 4th of July sale. So break out the grills and get ready for the 4th of July celebrations with Omaha Steaks. Get the burgers, the chicken, the jumbo franks, the brats, and of course, get the steaks. Those things are incredible. They've got appetizers, meatballs, wings. They've got desserts. They've even got wine. They've got everything you guys need to celebrate America's birthday with your friends and your family. Go to omahasteaks.com/dogs and use promo code DAWGS, DAWGS, when you check out, and you'll get an extra $30 off your order. So set off the fireworks in everybody's mouth with Omaha Steaks this 4th of July. Head to omahasteaks.com/dogs. Get 50% off site-wide during the 4th of July sale. And make sure you guys punch in that promo code DOGS, D-A-W-G-S, when you check out to get an extra $30 off your order. Happy 4th of July, everybody.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Before we move on to the next topic, I guess we'll just mention, I think it's really cool, the Browns are bringing in Phil Dawson into their Ring of Honor.
Yes.
He's, I think, our franchise all-time leading scorer, I'm pretty sure.
I think so.
And one of the best kickers, I feel like, in franchise history and definitely in the NFL in a very, very long time. So that's pretty awesome, the Browns.
Honestly, the biggest surprise to me when I saw this was that he wasn't already.
I agree.
I was just like, oh, I guess I just assumed he already was.
I agree. So I'm excited for that. Phil Dawson, good dude, awesome kicker. I would love for him to be affiliated with the team somehow with special teams. Now, Hopkins figured it out last year, but I just felt like all of our kicking woes since he left, since he's been retired, it's like, why don't we call this guy? Why don't we bring this guy up to at least be like a consultant in the preseason or something, you know, anything to help these kickers. So I'd love for him to be affiliated with the Browns in some way.
You just almost wonder if they have, and he just hasn't been interested.
I know he coaches his kids down in Texas, I think, with Trent Dilfer.
Oh.
I think he coaches with Trent Dilfer at the school Trent Dilfer coaches at.
I know for years of my life, he was the only guy that was going to score. It was either him or Cribs. So and to me, I'm with you. Like, I'm kind of a little shocked that he's not, you know, already in that ring. But, you know, that means he's smashing a guitar here pretty soon.
Yeah.
He's smashing a guitar, being back in Cleveland. Very exciting.
So maybe we'll get him on the show.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
That would be pretty awesome.
Worth a reach out, that's for sure.
So then lastly, last big news that just released, was it today or yesterday?
I think it was yesterday.
Yesterday. The AFC, all of the AFC North, not just the Browns, the division for the first time ever is going to be part of the in-season version of Hard Knocks this year. So I think it's starting sometime in December. The in-season Hard Knocks will come out, and it'll be the entire AFC North. What are you guys' thoughts?
So I didn't know that it was the midseason one.
Yeah,
That's crazy. Who's the preseason one?
I think it's the Cardinals.
Oh, okay.
I thought they were last year.
Were they last year? I'll look it up. Keep going.
Because we got Gannon's speech, remember? And everybody thought he was going to suck as a coach because of his speech, and people like, he didn't buy in. I forget.
They were bought in, yeah.
Yeah.
I get it. But I think it's interesting. I've seen a lot of people saying they hate it. I necessarily don't hate it. I think that it's like one of the most intriguing divisions in the league. I think as far as like competitively, this is the elite group. This, and then I think the NFC North is also like another one that I'm like, wow, a lot of good teams. That's all pretty even.
I think the Bears are on the preseason.
It's the Bears.
Is it the Bears?
Okay. Yeah, that'd be a good one.
So, I mean, I like Hard Knocks, but like if it's not the Browns, I watch like an episode or two and then I'm like, eh.
I watched like part of the Jets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is cool, but
it's not my team.
I don't give a shit.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. What do you think, Josh?
Initially I was just kind of like, do we have to? Like, I just want it to be a good season. I don't want any extra crap. I don't want the cameras, the crew, like just leave us alone. Just let us play.
You want to be under the radar.
Yeah, I want to be under the radar. I just want to do our thing, go out there and win freaking football games. But I will say, I'm excited to see it because it's going to be completely different than the last time. Like this is an organization, a franchise, a team that's worth diving into. I mean, we're showing that they're awesome. The team is built great. We've got great leadership. I think it's going to be very interesting, and we have the best division in all of football. So, I mean, from that standpoint, it makes sense. I understand they want the ratings, and what other division are you going to feature?
I'm pretty sure the Browns Hard Knocks, just the Browns was like, it was one of the most watched, you know what I mean? So like the Browns will bring in ratings and the, like you said, the AFC North is best division in football. Yes. I have a lot of people are freaking out about this.
Yeah.
I have like zero problems with it. Like it's like you said, this isn't Hugh Jackson and Freddie Kitchens and Todd Haley running around. Like we have 2-time coach of the year. We have Andrew Berry. We have, Mike Vrabel. Like we have legit people in this organization. It's not like it's a dumpster fire in there anymore. Two, the Hard Knocks. I know a lot of people have talked about like there's gonna be media spin. Hard Knocks isn't really media. They don't. The Hard Knocks doesn't even really have an agenda. They just literally videotape you and interview you in voiceover. Like there's no. They're not pushing anything. It's just there.
No, but I mean, just for example, I know it was the clip with Corey Coleman on the last one that got. I mean. From what his story, what he's been out there telling, he's supposed to be coming on our podcast sometime and talk about it, how that clip got taken out of context. And that's not exactly how the conversation went down and all that kind of stuff. So I know he said that that had a big impact on his career, the way that was taken out of context. So it's just kind of stuff like that where I guess we don't really need it, but I mean, it is what it is.
I'm excited to watch it. It's going to be more Browns
content. I'm excited to watch it. Jess. Yeah.
They're just there. I don't have a problem with this. Like 0% problem. If anything, I'm more excited than anything because I think it's going to be fun to watch. I'm excited to get an inside glimpse of this regime's locker room and the way they handle their business as opposed to the clown show that was the Hugh Jackson regime. That was so... I loved that Hard Knocks because you go back and you watch it outside of like Jarvis Landry, Hugh Jackson, man,
it was all fake. I mean, he was fake. He's a fraud.
Yes.
Sit in my chair.
Oh my God.
Oh man.
I've never
sit in my chair. I've sat in that chair.
So I'm excited for it. I don't think it's going to be a problem. What'll suck. This will be the only place where I could see it possibly sucking is the season is not going the way we want it to.
Yeah.
You know, like it doesn't start till December. So what if we're under 500 at this point and it starts coming out? It's not even other people. It's Browns fans that just cannot handle this kind of stuff. If the season is not going well, it'll just be, they shouldn't be doing this every like time somebody talks in Hard Knocks. So if they weren't talking to the Hard Knocks cameras, they would have caught that ball. You know, Stefanski's an idiot. Didn't you hear him mess up his sentence to the team? He must not know how to read. And like, it just anything that has to do with the Browns, I am less concerned with the national talk of the Browns, and I'm less concerned with anything actually on the team. And I'm more concerned with just the fact that we have like a fragile fan base. I'm just being honest. Like, and if you're a person who's getting really upset, yes. If you're a person who's getting really upset with me right now, I'm talking about you. Like we can't handle anything. Of course we didn't bring back Joe Flacco. You wouldn't be able to handle it. We'd throw one interception and you'd be throwing your beer on the field, calling for the backup. Like we just can't handle these kinds of things. So that's where I could see it going poorly. But outside of that, I'm excited for it. I think it's going to be cool, especially if it's like a really tight division. And imagine like if the Ravens or the Bengals are sucking, it's going to be really fun to watch. You know what I mean? Like I think it's going to be fun. Or like if in Pittsburgh, George Pickens just is going like doing what wide receivers in Pittsburgh do and going off the rails, like we're going to get to watch that. You know, so yeah. I'm excited to watch it.
I mean, it's definitely going to be. It's the most interesting. If they were going to do a full division. It's the by far the most interesting one they could have picked. I mean, all four teams are really good. They've got great players. They got stars. They've got good coaches. It's going to be fun to, it's like we talked about the season, the division's going to be hell. It's going to be brutal. And as brutal as the division is just how interesting it's going to be watching Hard Knocks talk about all four teams.
I'm excited for it, though. I am excited to watch it. I think it'll be cool to get an inside look at Stefanski and AB and all these guys. So,
and it could be really interesting at that point in the season to see what's going on with the Steelers and their quarterback situation.
Yeah.
Because, again, Russell Wilson, they're not paying him, essentially.
Yeah.
And Justin Fields, they traded for him. They need to know, is this a guy or are we
back to square one next year? They didn't sign his fifth year.
No, they didn't.
So
I know this is off topic, but I think Russell starts all their games for them.
If they're winning, I don't see them needing to make a change. But
no, because I think they could be being slept on a little bit. I mean, they talked about how we made the playoffs with five quarterbacks. They made the playoffs with Mason Rudolph and Kenny Pickett.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So, they're in the same boat with us. They're going, we just got a major upgrade at quarterback. So why would we not be, a favorite to, and they've won the division more than anybody in the last couple of years. So why would we not be the favorite? So I think they're kind of flying under the radar, which pains me to say, obviously, on this podcast.
Yeah.
but I'm just keeping it real. Let us know what you guys think about Hard Knocks being not just in Cleveland, but the entire AFC North. Are you guys going to be watching? Are you guys worried about distractions? Let us know. All right, so we will be back in just a minute with our interview with Amarian Brown. Make sure you guys stay tuned. Great guy, and we can't wait for you guys to hear from him.
This episode is brought to you by Danger Coffee. Browns fans, we talk about how Danger Coffee is made free from mold toxins that are in 45% of the world's coffee, but that's not all that Danger Coffee has to offer. Mineral and nutrient deficiencies are a big deal. They make you feel sick, tired, stressed, and they can give you brain fog. These deficiencies negatively affect your immune system, your digestion, sleep, metabolism. Have you ever wondered why you get an initial burst from your coffee, but then you get that little crash not long after? Danger Coffee's patent-pending process remineralizes your body with more than 50 trace minerals and electrolytes, leaving you more energized, engaged, powerful. These micronutrients enter the cells to boost performance. They bind to toxins to provide detoxification support. I know that sounds like a lot, but the bottom line, guys, is minerals matter. And most of us really don't get enough of them on a daily basis. Danger Coffee delivers micronutrients, plus it gives you access to the minerals you already have. Head to dangercoffee.com, use our code DAWGS, D-A-W-G-S, for 10% off your order. And that code can be used over and over. So you get 10% off every order you make using code DAWGS. It's time to start every day off with a cup of coffee that gets you going and actually keeps you going. Dangercoffee.com, code DAWGS. All right, like we mentioned in the opening of the show, we are joined by Browns undrafted free agent wide receiver Amarian Brown. Amarian, how are you doing tonight?
Good, man. Blessed to be here.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's really exciting to have you on the show. And we just wanted to have you on here for a few minutes, talk about your journey so far through, from college to the Senior Bowl to the Browns. And I think we'll just kind of start there. So just real quick, how has Cleveland been for you? What's the experience been like through the mini camps and the OTAs and all that kind of stuff?
Man, Cleveland's been amazing, man. I kind of didn't know what to expect. Coming up to Ohio, because I've never been to Ohio. So, getting off that plane, everything was kind of new to me. I was just hearing stuff here and there. I talked to a few guys. I actually met a few people who were from Ohio. And I kind of got some insight about Cleveland and stuff like that. But everything's been good, man. They've been treating me pretty well. I can't complain, man. I'm blessed to be here. This is an opportunity that a lot of guys don't get. So, who am I to come here and complain about? So I'm just blessed to be here. I'm happy that the Browns organization believed in me enough to welcome me to the team, and I'm just excited to get rolling.
That's awesome. So I guess since you've been here, since you've been with the team and you've been working out and doing the practices and stuff, who are some of the guys on the team that you've kind of been hanging around with? Have there been some of the other rookies that you've been establishing a relationship with? Have any vets kind of taken you under their wing to show you the ropes, or how's that kind of been going for you?
Obviously the rookies, as rookies, we're together all day, every day, so we're hanging out all the time, whether that's here in the hotel playing the game or whether that's at the facility. during our meetings or after our meetings, you know, being there, because we're usually there by ourselves a lot, just having our rookie meets and things like that. But obviously the rookies, Jalen Darden, I actually met him when he was playing for the Bucks. So it was good to kind of come in, you know, with the guy that I was familiar with as well. But I think the first person who came in and kind of took me and Jamari Thrasher under his wing was Cedric Tillman. You know, he was a rookie last year, and, you know, he basically went through the same process a year ago. And it was good kind of having him here right after rookie minicamp. And he was just a guy who was willing to help. And, you know, a lot of guys in the league, you know, you don't have to, you know, be there. You know, you hear about a lot of guys, you know, who feel like they shouldn't mentor rookies, or they don't have to be there for rookies just because it's our job. You know, it's our job to do what we have to do. But I think first and foremost, Ted was a guy who came in and he was willing to help. Like he was doing stuff that he didn't have to do. And, you know, me and Jamari definitely appreciated Seth for that. And really all the older guys, met Jerry Jeudy actually for the second time. I met him on a visit to Alabama, and I showed him a picture of us when I was on a visit to Alabama, which it was funny. He said he remembered me. He kind of recognized the face, which is funny. Elijah Moore, a lot of those guys, they're here to help. And I think that we have a good group of guys, you know, not only on the team, but in that receiver room who's willing to help. But also JD, Jalen Darden, since he's been here, we've been super tight. He's just helping me, you know, he's also, you know, a guy kind of built like me. So he understands the things I have to go through. So he's kind of been that guy who's really been, you know, by my side, and he's been willing to help with anything.
You mentioned hanging out, playing games with the other rookies. I assume you're talking about like video games.
Yeah, Madden. We've been playing Madden.
So, are you guys pumped for the new NCAA? I guess it's called college football now. And how mad are you that you missed? You're not going to be in it by 1 year.
Man, I'm excited about it, but it's kind of like, now, really? now we don't get a chance to be in the game. Like, waiting, what, 10, was it 10 years?
Yeah, I think 2014 was the last time.
Yeah.
And now we're not in college. They want to come out with a new game. I'm definitely excited to play. I'm excited to see how it is, because I think NCAA 14 was one of the best games for a while. Like, I'm pretty, like, everybody was playing NCAA 14, and I'm excited. I'm excited to see how it goes. You know, I'm definitely pumped to play it, for sure.
I was just curious because I'm a big gamer, and I got like a calendar countdown for that game, so I can't wait to play.
So, I mean, yeah, you missed that game, but you get to be in Madden now, so that's cool, right?
Yeah, which is I'm pretty sure all of our dreams of being Madden now. That's the ultimate dream, playing Witches of Madden.
How crazy, can you even put that into words? Like, you're going to turn on a video game and be able to go put yourself in the game. Like, how wild is that?
That's the thing. It's like one of those things, like, you always like dream about it, like, man, I can't wait to do it. But like, now it's serious, like, weird. Like, there's no way. Like, I don't have to create myself in the game. Like, I'll be. It's a difference.
Yeah. Are you playing quarterback?
I might.
I just had to throw it out there.
Oh yeah.
So what we're talking about, your run coming into the league. Obviously, the Senior Bowl was a big part of that. What was the experience like down there in the Senior Bowl, playing with some of the top seniors in the country?
It was fun. I mean, just getting that experience. It's always fun competing, and you never want to shy away from competing. Competition is what this league is built on, and in every position from top to bottom, you got to compete no matter what. You know, there is no, okay, we can get away this game, or, you know, sometimes it college is like a game here and there. You're like, okay, you know, I don't have to put my best foot forward, but like every week there's a challenge, and you're going to be challenged by the best. Even some of the guys at the bottom of the roster are still elite, so there's no like guys who aren't good in the NFL. So you just got to be on your A game, you know, week in and week out.
I got a question for you real quick about like the practices and stuff. So are you allowed to talk about kind of what goes on at practice, or should we steer away from those questions?
I can be brief.
I just wanted to ask you about, I know one thing I was reading about you was your punt return abilities. And I was just curious if you've been working with the punt return team during any of the sessions so far.
I'm just trying to find a role on this team. So yeah. I mean, whether that's punts, kicks, whatever, receiver, or whatever they ask me to do, you know, I'm there to do it. I mean, I guess.
Well, yeah. Let me ask you this: is there an excitement level about the new kickoff this season, like with the players? Like, are guys talking about how this is going to be more exciting and an opportunity for bigger plays and that kind of stuff?
It's definitely exciting. It's something that I think that the whole league's going to have to get used to, because, you know, nobody has really any film. I mean, we can go watch the XFL or the UFL and look at their film, but it's different when you actually have to do it. So I think it's going to be a process. I don't think it's going to be – there's just going to be like a build up until people, you know, see what other people do and see what works for them for it to be really good. But I think it's going to be definitely really good. I think there's just going to be some getting used to early on for sure.
Yeah, I know we're pretty excited about it. It kind of makes the kickoff – before it was kind of almost being phased out of the game. It was a lot of touchbacks most of the time. And now it's like – it's almost going to – it feels like it's going to be must-see TV. Like it's going to be a play that you don't want
to
miss.
Now is you basically have to return the kick. Yeah, you basically have to.
And I like it too, because bringing the importance of the kick is – to me, it's important. That's a lot of guys' jobs. You know what I mean? Like that, a lot of people have good NFL careers and long NFL careers because of punt returns, kickoff returns. You can go to the Pro Bowl as a special teams player. So I didn't like that it was being phased out of the game. So I think that's a really cool part of it too.
Right. Yeah, I think it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be definitely it's going to be one of those plays that people are – that's going to be something that you need to watch. Because I feel like in that phase, really anything can happen. That can change the game as well for a lot of teams. Man, it's going to be pretty cool to watch.
Yeah, I know we've talked about it, like even just teams might carry two kickers now just because you might not want your ace field goal kicker making tackles, a lot of tackles on the kickoff team, you know? So I think there's a whole other strategy level to it that I don't is maybe even being lost in the discussion that I think is a cool part of it.
Or they can put skill players that kicker who can know how to kick a little bit.
Yeah, something like that too. Like there's a lot of stuff that goes into it.
Yep. So I watched a video earlier, man, of right after your pro day, a guy was just firing off questions to you, and he was talking about how you were coming from a pro-style offense and, you know, how that was going to help your transition, you know, into the NFL. I just wanted to talk about, like, what that process, how has that helped you? Has it helped you at all? Has it been a good transition?
I think the transition has been pretty well. I think the terminology is what gets a lot of the guys. But a lot of guys don't come from a pro style offense, which I think could be tough. I think it was definitely a benefit for me because I'm kind of familiar with a lot of the concepts. The names may be different. There might be tweaks here and there, but I'm kind of familiar with how things go. There's different categories for different things, which I think that I got really used to being in a pro style offense for 3 years. It was definitely a benefit for me.
Awesome.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, so kind of talking about, you know, your transition and stuff like that, has there been anything, obviously it's been a short amount of time so far in your NFL career, but has there been anything where after a practice you were like, damn, this is different. Like this is next level. This is going to be tough. And has there been anything where it was asked of you or you got done with the practice and you're like, okay, I got this. I belong here. Like, you know what I mean? Like on both ends of the spectrum.
I can't lie to you, man. The first couple weeks, man, it was rough. It's because they throw so much at you and they don't expect you to learn it right away. But us as competitors and, you know, us as rookies, we don't want to go out and mess things up. You know, your first impression is your best impression. So for me, I was studying literally until I went to sleep. Like those first couple of weeks, it was bad, but it was just something that I need to go through. And I understand the importance, you know, of knowing what to do, knowing how to do it at a high level, which is important. But I can't lie. Yeah. Those first couple of weeks, you know, it threw everything at us and it was rough. But I know this game is more mental really than physical. So I just need to find a way. Kind of find my routine, you know, how I handle things.
Yeah, like, I mean, Blake just said, you know, it has been a short time since you've been in the NFL so far. But in your opinion, like, what do you think is the biggest area that you feel you have grown as a football player just in that time period from college now into these first couple weeks of, like, you know, these camps and stuff, it, like on the field, like skill development or even off the field preparation, training, anything like that?
I think me getting here, it was just kind of me starting over again. Obviously I'm in NFL now, so it's different than college. I kind of just say, like, finding out who I was again in this new situation. Obviously I know my skill set and what I'm capable of, but it's kind of, like I said, like finding that new routine, because things are different. You know, like a lot of people may say, it's a business and they treat you like a business. So nobody's, you know, following you, making you do this. Nobody's gonna remind you to, okay, make sure you go over this because this is important. So it's like making sure you pay attention to all the small things, like when a coach is not speaking to you, but he's explaining something, you got to make sure you listen to that as well, because you could be there. He's not going to tell you you might be there tomorrow, but you could be doing that same thing tomorrow, but he just told somebody else that you got to, you know, you got to, it's those things that, you know, you got to really pay attention to. But I think it was me just finding myself again, just digging deep and understanding, you know, where I am now and the things I have to do to just keep going and keep climbing.
Have the Browns done a good job, I guess, in your opinion? And obviously you're not going to bash the Browns on camera, but like I know Jim Brown used to be a guy who talked to the rookies about, like, mm-hmm. coming in and how to handle being a pro. And they put on kind of like a rookie summit and stuff like that about handling your business. Kind of how you talked about how there's no more handholding. And I can't imagine there's a ton of handholding in Division I college, but your coach is probably still following up and doing that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? And now it's a job and it's a business. Do you feel like the Browns have a good culture in helping their rookies get ready to take on that extra responsibility?
That's one thing I can say. They do a great job. Like, there's so many resources for us to get help. Like, there's ways to learn and to get help that I didn't even know was possible. And you know, we meet with Ron Brewer really every day, and he's kind of the guy that we can lean on. Like, if we ever need something, he's there. I think they do an amazing job of just trying to make sure that we have everything there. Like I said, they're not gonna make us do stuff, but the resources are there. It's just up for us to be pros and to use them and to say something if we need help. Like, that's what I mean, like, the difference between, like, college and pros. Like, everything's there. It's just they're not going to make us do it. It's just up to us if we want to use our resources or not.
So
it's been amazing, though. I can't complain. I can't complain about anything. Everything's been, so far has been, it's been amazing.
That's good to know too, because I've been a Browns fan for my whole life, and I feel like we have that culture now. And if I would have asked you this question 10 years ago, I don't know if I would have been surprised if you would have been like, they just kind of threw us to the wolves. Like, I'd feel like, I feel like we've really turned the corner as a franchise. I think, like, AB and Stefanski, I think these are good guys.
I think they do a great job. AB actually, he talked to us too in one of our rookie meetings. And, you know, it's one of those things where a lot of guys don't get a chance to talk to the GM. And it's kind of weird, like, him coming, spend, like, taking time away from what he's got to do, because Lord knows the things he has to do. And just coming to talk to the rookies, like, just trying to make sure we're good with everything, him as well. You know, one of the things he told us was to make sure we use the resources, because the people in the building are there for us. Like, that's their job. Their jobs are to make sure that we can perform as best as we can on the field. And that's just one thing. One thing that we have to, you know, adapt to, you know, in NFL is using your resources, because, you know, they're not going to come to you, but they're there for you. You know what I mean? So,
yeah, that is great to hear. We love hearing, you know, the inside scoop on the Browns. Like Blake said, we really do feel like it's a different organization than it used to be. But
yeah.
I know we're running up against it a little bit. Got to get you out of here. You got a busy schedule. Just real quick, what was it like when you got that call from the Browns, you know, the, hey, we want to offer you a contract, and the agreement was made? Like, how did that feel? Where were you at? Like, who was with you? Just tell us the quick story about that, because it's, like you said, it's not something everybody gets to experience.
Yeah, it was weird, because leading up to the draft, I kind of had a vision already that I was going to be a Brown. Like, everything was connecting to the Browns. Like, I had a dream about it. Like, I passed by cars and cars that Cleveland Browns, or I go the first, as soon as I go on YouTube, I see something about the Browns. It was kind of weird. I was like, I think I'm going to be there. I don't know how, but I think I will. But it was an amazing moment. It's one of those moments that like you can't prepare for. It's just life changing. Like I said, like dreaming about something for so long, and it's like finally here. It's kind of weird to like to know what to do in that moment. You know what I mean? But I was there at home with my family. It was just a cool moment, you know, for all of us, because there's so many people that sacrificed for me to be here. And, you know, I understand this is just my moment. You know, I put in the work, obviously, to get to this point. But there are so many hands, you know, especially my parents, man, all they've done for me since I was a kid. Just making sure that, you know, I never gave up on myself, no matter what, even through the ups and downs, that I always knew, you know, who I was. And they made sure of that. So it was a fun moment for all of us. We went in and enjoyed ourselves after. It was pretty cool, man.
That's good to hear. I can't imagine. The coolest thing I ever did was win like a baseball championship when I was 12. Yeah, so, but it's great to have you here. Like Josh said, we know you got to get you out of here. You got a busy schedule. We appreciate you taking a little bit of time, letting us get to know you, letting the listeners get to know you. We love getting just the insight into kind of like the inner workings of the Browns and meeting the players. It's really awesome. So we appreciate you being here, taking time. Good luck with everything, and we can't wait to hopefully maybe come up and meet you in person at training camp or something.
Oh, yeah. I appreciate y'all, man. I'm always welcome. Y'all always welcome to have me. You know, I'm here for y'all as well. So I appreciate y'all for having me. I'm blessed, man. Thank y'all.
All right, thanks a lot, man. Good luck.
Once again, we want to thank Amarian Brown for stopping by the show today, giving us a little bit of insight into what it's been like up in Berea for training camp, giving us a little insight into just his experience so far transitioning from college player to pro player. It was awesome to meet him. Super nice guy. Make sure you guys are looking out for him this preseason, cheering him on in these preseason games and rooting for him to, you know, make the roster. Great guy. We're excited to see him in the brown and orange. Again, remember, if you want to play fantasy football with us, make sure you guys check out jointhedogs.com. Cutoffs for these fantasy leagues will be mid-August. So you got about 2 months to get in there, meet everybody, get signed up for the fantasy league so you can do some of these redraft leagues with us. It's a ton of fun. Again, let us know what you guys think about Hard Knocks coming to the AFC North, and let us know what you guys think about Amari Cooper's contract situation. Are you guys worried? Do you think you deal gets done? Do you think he gets traded? If you think he's going to get traded, well, who do you think the Browns trade targets are? I think that's an interesting topic. Looking forward to hearing what some of you guys have to say about that kind of stuff. So again, we appreciate you guys being here, supporting the show throughout the offseason. If you haven't had a chance, go back and watch our interviews with Ted Ginn, Bob Golic, Eddie George, all those guys. It was a good time, and we appreciate all their time, so we want you guys to watch our episodes. We appreciate you guys being here, and we'll see you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Dogs Podcast. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube and follow us on Twitter at the Dogs Podcast. Get your thoughts on the show at thedogspodcast.com.
This episode is brought to you by Manly Bands. Dog Pack, if you followed the show for a while, you know that I recently got married. I got my wedding band at Manly Bands. Now, I opted for something a little more simple, so I just got a plain, simple, gold, polished band from Manly Bands, but that's not everybody, and I'm telling you, they've got so many cool different designs and materials available. They've got stuff. They've got bands made out of Jack Daniel's whiskey barrels, meteorites, even dinosaur bones. It's so cool. Just head to manlybands.com, check out the selection, see what they have. They've even got build your own bands if you want to make a custom style band for yourself. And right now, use promo code DAWGS, DAWGS, at manlybands.com when you check out, and you'll get 25% off your order. 25% is a big deal. So make sure, if you guys are looking for a new wedding band, Blake mentioned last week or two on the show that, you know, he's lost a lot of weight in the last year. And so his wedding band is a little too big for him. So he's thinking about getting a new one. And I told him, I said, just go to Manly Band, see what they got. And the 25% off your order is such a great deal. You really can't beat it. So at least go check it out. See what they have. They've got some really cool stuff. And again, promo code DAWGS, D-A-W-G-S, if you decide to buy one, and you'll get 25% off of that purchase. If you don't know your ring size, you can order a free ring size guide. They'll ship it straight to you. You can punch out the little rings and put them on your finger to see which size fits you best. And then every single band you order comes with a free silicone ring for whenever you want to work out or go swimming or whatever you need a silicone band for. You get one for free shipped with your purchase of a Manly Band from manlybands.com. So check it out. Again, manlybands.com. Use promo code DOGS for 25% off your order.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price.
This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
With Robinhood Gold, you don't need a silver spoon to eat up the financial favors of the 1%. Robinhood Gold allows a resourceful individual to earn the very liberal rate of 4.5% APY on uninvested cash, receive unlimited 1% deposit bonuses, and be rewarded with a handsome 3% retirement boost on an IRA account. Get the privileges of the high net worth for any net worth for just $5 a month. Sign up at Robinhood.com/gold. Terms apply. For product specific disclosures, visit Robinhood.com/gold. Investing involves risk. Rate may change. Gold membership is offered by Robinhood Gold LLC.